Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you know, I got a smile this morning. It is, what, the 8th day of November, 2021. Boy, life is flying by, isn't it? 8th day, 24th day of this month. Michelle and I will have been married. I'm going to miss this. 42 years, I think, on the 24th of this month. And, God, what a helpmate the Lord gave me. She got the raw end of the deal. But, Lord, I had a meeting with the Lord last night. He interrupted my sleep. I don't know why he does that. Lord, let me wake me up about 4. I can live with that. 3 o'clock. I had a 3 o'clock wake last night, and Lord and I had a pretty good discussion last night. I want to bring that to the table with you. Now, no, I didn't hear his voice. No, it's not. No, well, not audible. Wasn't anything like that. But Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice, and another voice they won't hear." And I knew it was the correcting quest. Did you guys ever know? Did you ever realize this? That the Holy Spirit speaks to you through questions. You know, you ever notice that? It's like he's constantly giving you a scenario and then giving you a choice. Except he doesn't give you the choice, he gives you the scenario. And then you just kind of sit there and say, okay, now what? And that happened to me for about an hour last night. And the good thing about it is, I don't know if I came away with any answers, but I came away with a lot of questions, and I think it's questions that lead to answers and lead to solutions. And I want to talk about some of that with you today. I'm really excited. Yes, I am. I'm excited. I'd be jumping up and down. I'm anxious. I'm anxious to talk about this morning. Because really, you know, we're going to have to get into the hard issues, folks. We can go smother ourselves in the Bible and hide in the Bible and the comfort of the Bible if we want to. But we're at war. We're in the midst of a great civil war, as Abraham Lincoln said. Now we're engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation can long endure. We're in the midst of that war right now, second civil war, second spiritual civil war. They're trying to vaccinate our children against our will. They're trying to vaccinate us against our will. You're all with me on that, right? Sure you are. So I want to get to that. Hang on there with me. Go to the events page real quick, Spencer. I want people to see a couple things on the events page that are really, really important to hey, listen, we want to do some events in your area. You schedule one, we'll come. We'll help you form it. Jeff Klein's got his Freedom Rally in Mount Vernon this Sunday, Freedom Rally. We will not bow. The public square, anybody that happens to be in the Columbus, Ohio area, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. on the square there in Columbus, we will not bow. Freedom Rally, Mount Vernon. And Chad has his Texas Salt and Light Brigade meeting this weekend down in Texas. Now, again, some of you need to start doing these locally. You need to start getting these things together, okay? I've got several speaking engagements, speaking opportunities coming up. I'll get up on them. I'm not up there right now. And I'll be honest with you, as we move into the Christmas season, it gets harder and harder to do things. People don't want to do stuff around Christmas, right? They're into ho-hos and ding-dongs and jingle bells and all that. So we can start looking out. A lot of you start looking out towards January. Maybe some of you folks down in the warm weather country, you can get some events scheduled for us so we can do some work down there. Second issue I want to talk about. I went to Russ Dizdar's funeral on Thursday. I'm sorry, on Saturday. Russ and Sherry's funeral up in Canton. And I came away with something really profound with me. And I just want to lay that out there for you. Russ Dizdar, in my lifetime, I've never met a guy like Russ Dizdar with the knowledge that he knew, that he had, that he was able to share. The depth of his insight into the spiritual realm and what a powerful impact he had on so many people around the world. But, you know, the Bible says that a prophet is not honored in his own town. He's honored, but not in his hometown. And Michelle and I, when we went up there, and Gary Pierce was there, and and Ken was there, and Pastor Mike Spaulding. God bless Pastor Mike Spaulding. Give all the way up there. There's a good man for you, Mike Spaulding. Real quickly. I'll get to that in a second. But I looked around the room. I don't want anybody to take this wrong, okay? Some of Russ's team was there. Many of Russ's team was there. But you know what I saw as I looked around the room? I saw the downtrodden of Canton, Ohio. I saw the regular guy of Canton, Ohio. There's a good crowd there. There was probably, it was probably 300. Meal and a fabulous, uplifting service. But I thought, you know, this is one of the most renowned Christian men in the world. I think he is. Now, he's not known in mainstream Christianity. We know that, right? One of the most renowned Christian men in America. And please, I hope people don't take this wrong. I don't mean it wrong. It wasn't filled with stars that Russ Dezdar hung out with. Am I saying that right? Somebody give me a thumbs up if you know what I'm saying. The room was filled with people whose lives he had impacted. Just downtrodden people that Russ had ministered to over the years.
Amen, Coach. I saw that too.
Yeah, Stephanie. Yeah. God bless you, Stephanie. Yeah. I just looked around. I was kind of amazed. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad that they didn't come. Because I was wondering, you know, when Michelle and I were driving up there, I'm wondering, are we going to see this guy? Is this guy going to come? This guy going to come? And none of them did. But then it's not that they didn't love Russ. They didn't respect Shelley. It wasn't anything about that. It really wasn't anything about that. It was so appropriate that Russ Dizdar's funeral was held in a former elementary school gymnasium, doubling as a church, with the people that he'd served. It was a pretty profound moment.
And it was super nice. I mean, just the variety of people there.
Yep. Yeah, Teresa, I'm not making it sound, I'm not bashing anybody. It doesn't sound like I'm bashing anybody, does it?
No, I know exactly what you're saying, because I think anyone who's there knows what you were saying.
Yeah, no presidents, no kings, no dignitaries, no... Right. No YouTube guys. I'm not criticizing those YouTube guys. Please don't take that wrong. But it was just so fitting. It was just so fitting.
And I'm so glad. How many angels do you think were around that building?
Oh my goodness, huh? How many of those cloud of witnesses were watching closely what was going on in there, huh? And Russ's daughter, Shelly, gave the not Shelly, but my brain went dead. Anyway, gave the eulogy.
Charity.
Charity, thank you. Charity gave the eulogy. It was great. And I was honored that I was there. And I want to acknowledge Mike Spaulding. Maybe you can pull that up there, Spencer. I think I gave you the link, the first one. Dr. Mike Spaulding, Transforming Word Ministries. Dr. Mike does a show on Monday nights as well. Dr. Mike Live. But he was there. He and his wife were there. And Mike had been at part of his own event down in Dayton, Ohio. And I don't know if you guys know much about Ohio. Dayton, Ohio to Akron, Ohio ain't across the street. And Mike left the event that he had partially organized and drove however long that was. He and his wife, Kathy, drove up there. And I just want to salute Mike. The fact that he did that. Transforming Word Ministries. Dr. Mike Live is on Monday nights at, I think it's 6 o'clock. I might have my hours wrong. But it was a fulfilling weekend. It was a fulfilling weekend. And listen, one other housekeeping thing I want you to do. Friends, please do us a favor. Spencer, pull up our website real quickly. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. You'll be glad you joined us. Go to the email sign up, Spencer. Email sign up. There are many of you who watch the show regularly, and we don't have your emails. We don't have your emails. And I'd ask if you could, just sign up. Just give us, we're not going to bombard you. We're not going to bombard you. But I run into people all the time, and they say, I said, well, don't you get our alerts? And they say, what alerts? I said, well, our email. Oh, Coach, we never know where you are, where you're going to be. I said, well, so a lot of you in here, just go to the first name, last name, email. That's all you got to get. City and state helps us because when we try to organize people in groups, we want to know where you are. So as we're talking right now, just go there. Just go there right now and click on email if you hadn't signed up. Just sign up. That's how we're going to try to pull all of us together here, okay? Cool. Oh, God, I want to talk about that. Do I talk about that now, Lord, or do I wait? Okay, I'm going to wait. Here's what you and I, I'm sorry, Spencer, pull up third from the bottom, Ephesians 5. Silver, you in here, brother? Can you help us out here, Silver? Is that a baritone? Does Silver have a baritone or a bass? What does he have there?
I consider it a bass voice.
A bass. You have a bass. Okay.
Hey, it was baritone, but then I had heart surgery.
He has a radio voice.
Whatever it is, brother, whatever it is. Yeah. God bless Betty Perkins. She drove all the way down to Dayton. It was a great, not a big crowd, but great teaching. Is that right, Betty? Great teaching down there.
It was awesome. And there's people that want love to get on your show. And Neil Peterson wants on here too. Yeah. So there's some people I gave cards or web this here. So they might be getting in touch with you.
Thanks, Betty. I couldn't go. My granddaughter had a play that she was in on Friday night and Saturday. So Grammy and Grandpa, Gigi and Grampy got to be at that. And then, of course, the rest of the Dizdar then on Saturday. So we weren't able to be there. Hey, Silver, if you would, this is what the Holy Spirit wrestled with me last night, friends.
Okay.
And it's one specific phrase, and that's where I want to jump off here today. So, Joe, if you would, we're in Ephesians 5, 1 through 16. All of it's worth reading, but I want to cut off today at Ephesians 5, 16. Joe, I'm going to try to keep my mouth shut as you read. Go ahead.
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor.
Hey, Joe, I've tried for the whole time you've been reading to shut up the Holy Spirit, okay? I think it's the Holy Spirit. I want to read this again, folks, and I want to point this out, okay? Be there, followers of Christ, as dear children. I thought we were his bride. Go ahead, Joe.
But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God.
Ooh, what's a whoremonger? What, boy, those folks, whoo, huh? What's a fornicator? Didn't it say that, Joe? Didn't that say that up in the film is foolish? I don't know what foolish talking is. We're not allowed to have fun. We're certainly allowed to have fun, right? This isn't prune juice Christianity. But what do these mean? What do these words mean? Hey, the Holy Spirit asked me this at 3. I'm asking you now.
That's right, okay? Coach. Good.
Okay, I think there's a lot of dirty jokes and people just saying a lot of cuss words, using Jesus' name especially.
Okay, so what does the word convenient mean, which are not convenient? Listen, I don't want to get into it yet. Shut up, Coach. Not convenient. That's an odd word to use, isn't it? It's not convenient? Jesting's not convenient? Go ahead, Joe.
Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience.
The vain words bring the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Who are the children of disobedience? Those up there that you just read about. Those that are fornicating, and those are, huh? And he said, you may think you're in the kingdom, you ain't in any kingdom. You don't have any inheritance in it at all, he says. Keep going. I'm going somewhere.
Be not ye therefore partakers with them.
Partakers with who, Joe?
The fornicators and whoremongers.
Those children of disobedience, right?
Correct.
Don't be in partakers with the children of disobedience. Don't be with them. Go ahead.
For ye were sometimes darkness.
I was.
But now are ye light in the world.
I am.
Walk as children of the light.
No, bride of the light. Go ahead.
For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil.
Man, folks, this is so powerful. This thing could be so unpacked. I'm not going to do that. But I want to go right back up. Go to verse, I think it was 11. Go up to 11, Spencer. Right there. And I tried this out on my wife this morning. So this is going to be, it's going to be a little bit of truth and dare here, maybe. I said to Michelle, I fell back asleep. The Lord had me up for about an hour. I fell back asleep after an hour wrestling with him. And he asked me this question. And I got up this morning. What are unfruitful works of darkness? Now he lists some. But what are, wait a minute, let's take a word out of there. What are the works of darkness? I'm going to pause there a second, because I want to hear from you. What are the works of darkness? Larry, you got your hand up. Were you going to answer that one?
Yeah. Not addressing the works of darkness thing, but earlier you said about foolish talking and stuff. You know, one of the commandments is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And as you've said many times on this show, that has nothing to do with cussing and swearing and stuff. That is talking about godly things and taking the name or the authority and the power and everything of God and taking it emptily, talking about it not seriously.
That's right.
And then when you take the rest of what you read in Ephesians 5, man, we've got to stay focused on who God is.
Yes. So taking the name of the Lord of thy God in vain is not swearing, although it is, but it's calling yourself a Christian and not being one. It's like, I remember one time when I was coaching football, I had a guy that kept putting his head down when he tackled, and I said, listen, here's what I'm going to do, dude. I'm going to take your helmet off. I'm going to take your helmet off. If you're not going to use it properly, I'm not going to let you use it. You want to go out there and play without your helmet? Well, no, he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do that, did he? So are we playing without our helmet? Are we calling ourselves Christian and not being one? That's what I think it means, not to take it in vain. Come in, Susan.
We are created in the image of God. And when he spoke, things happened. Light was, trees were, and our words have similar power. That we have to be careful. Every single word that comes out of our mouth, that it's focusing people's attention on him, because they're going to hell otherwise. And, you know, foolishness and television, and, you know, you watch some of the shows on TV that everybody likes, but they say bad things about dads or silliness. And that gets us in trouble, and it causes people to go to hell because we didn't tell them.
Well, listen, here's where I'm coming by. Be right there, Janine. Listen, please hear me. Please hear me. Don't miss this. You cannot, I'm asking, first of all, what are works of darkness? That's question number one. What are works of darkness? What would they look like? What are they? And then I'm asking you this. The do part of the question is reprove them. They're connected, friends. Don't have any fellowship and reprove them. They're connected. But first of all, we have to recognize what are the works of darkness. We know this. All works of darkness are fruitless. Wait a minute, they're not fruitless. The works of darkness the works of darkness produce child abuse, divorce, homosexual. We know that the works of darkness create fruit. It ain't good fruit that they create, right? What's our job? What is our job? We're to reprove what? Those unfruitful works of darkness. But we can't do that if we don't know what they are. Janine, what are the works of darkness?
First of all, we were told to make disciples of men. Now, judgment is going to begin at the house of the Lord. And we've talked so many times on the show about the hirelings. He preached the truth.
Okay,
and
so then
the word of God to answer itself.
So then a work of darkness would be untruth. Okay, there's one. Myra?
Another one will be to align yourself with or pay too much attention to the evil instead of making God your main issue.
So compromise would be an unfruitful work, right? Would anybody disagree with that? Reggie, got one for me, Reggie? What's a fruit of darkness?
I do. And the words here are very clear to me, and I'm coming from a different angle maybe because I'm not hearing it, but to me, the works of darkness, because it's very clear, he uses light and dark.
There's a divider for sure, yes?
Yep, it's very clear. So the works of the darkness are the things that the other children are doing in the darkness, in the secret, and that is their worship, their Baal worship, their
football ritual worship, their football worship, right? The materialism worship, huh?
Yeah, okay, I think it's their gods and their worship of their gods. That's the acts. But if you look at it, Coach, it says, for it is even shameful to speak of those things. So it's not about football. It's not stealing. It's not about those things. It's something darker.
Something darker. John Diamond, come in. Good one. Good one, Reg and Gene. Good to hear you, John. John, your show's on at what time today, buddy? Unmute yourself. Can't hear you yet, John. John.
I know John's on at 9. I'm writing on TV.
John, we can't hear you, John. I can't hear you, John. Gene, come on in. Then Glenn. John's on at 9 o'clock today.
Okay, one thing is that what's ever an abomination to God? What God has described, what's an abomination? And then another thing is in Proverbs where it says 7 things that he hates. I can't name them all right now.
Right. Okay, good. Those are works of darkness, right?
Right.
And they're not unfruitful because they do produce fruit, but they produce the wrong fruit. They produce the wrong fruit. Glenn.
Yeah, I think things that come to mind are like what's going on with abortion, things like pedophilia, sex trafficking, child trafficking, all of that would be works of darkness.
All right, I'm with you. Anything that takes life rather than gives life, right? Anything that's dishonest rather than honest. You guys with me? I mean, because listen, he had me up for an hour, and I was thinking for an hour, and I get up this morning, Michelle couldn't even tell me the works of darkness. We better be able to identify those works of darkness if we're going to reprove them. By the way, for us to know to do good, not to do it, for us it is sin. Would that be one of those works of darkness? Would cowardice be a work of darkness? Fear, a work of darkness?
Pride.
Pride, a work of darkness? John Diamond, can you get in here yet? Nope, can't. Man, well, you look good this morning. 9 o'clock, right, John? Your show on Brighty on 9 o'clock? Okay, good. Let's see. Wow, Rochelle, then Betty. Stop a minute. Say, Coach, boy, this is thought-provoking, Coach. No kidding. Go ahead.
Good morning, team. Yes, happy Monday. In Ephesians 5... I think it's, 3-7. But fornication and all uncleanness or uncovetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man who is an idler has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So I think some of those things are the worst of darkness.
Okay, let me take one a second. What is fornication? What is that?
That
sex and pornography.
Sex outside of marriage. That's agree with adultery. That?
Yes, I also think there's a spiritual fornication. No,
they all think it's adultery if you're married.
Well, that is adultery if you're married. Fornication, the Greek word is porneo. It is a mind thing. It's you know, you're not married. You're either engaging in or mindfully engaging in.
Okay. Because there's a difference between fornication and adultery, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're not the same. Lisa, did I cut you off, Rochelle? I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Go ahead, Lisa.
I remember the scripture that says it's not what goes into you that makes you unclean, but what comes out of you. And sometimes we're exposed to things, or we even digest things maybe that we didn't consent to, or, you know, like even, you know, this LGBTQ community, whatever. I mean, you can have thoughts, you can.
Lisa, hang on. Let me ask you a question right there, Lisa. Am I supposed to accept LGBTQRSTUDD? No. Am I supposed to accept that?
No.
Am I supposed to have? Am I supposed to permit that being taught to my children?
No way.
Am I supposed to support that being taught to Betty Perkins' grandchildren?
Nope. And what I was going to say was they have a choice. They can choose not to act and not to sin.
So what's up? What's our job, Lisa?
Is to rebel.
Reprove them.
Reprove.
Folks, these two are connected. Have no fellowship and reprove. Have no fellowship and reprove.
That's
have
right.
No fellowship and reprove. Not have no fellowship and tolerate.
Yep. And I was just screaming at my daughter-in-law the other day because it's this liberal LGB whatever community that influenced her and pushed her into getting her first shot. So my daughter-in-law revealed yesterday that the mother of six of my grandchildren had the first shot. And I just screamed, I hate them. I hate them. I want God to just destroy them. I want them to stop influencing my family. They're not going to kill my family.
Well, you got
to
reprove them then, Lisa. You got to reprove them. Come on in, Jeff, now. You got to reprove them.
Yep.
I like three things. Darkness, a changing public opinion to allow these things to happen. Second, the churches are not giving solid food to the individuals to grow, the better the senses to find the difference between good and evil. Fourth, next one is I was preaching in Reno, an atheist told me why God murders in the Bible. And then I turned around and asked him, do you believe in killing the unborn? He smiled and boasted of killing the unborn. And I call him sick and demented.
Of course they are. Betty, come in.
Yes, in Proverbs 6:16, there are six things that the Lord hates. Yes, seven are abomination to him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren.
Man, that is so clear. By the way, it doesn't say the only six things, does it, Betty? It says these six things. It doesn't say these are the only six things, right? These six things does the Lord hate. Yeah, seven of them are an abomination, right? He hates a lot of things we don't talk about. I'm going somewhere. You keep sitting there. I'm telling you, I'm taking you somewhere. Go ahead, Joe. Then Randy.
Well, could this go a step further and not studying him or believing in him? Not studying his words.
No, Jesus. How about this, Joe? How about this, Joe? Saying you believe in him and then don't study his word. Saying you believe in him and don't follow his word. That would be it, right?
I was about to say that.
Okay. By the way, that's a whole bunch of folk. That's a whole bunch of folk who've been told to tolerate evil. When the Bible says just the opposite. Hey, does anybody think I'm wrong? The Bible says just the opposite. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them. Reprove them. Reprove. Hey, Spencer, real quickly, Webster, what's reprove? Reprove. This isn't one of the links. I need an hour and a half to stay. I was up for an hour asking me this. Reprove, to blame or to censor, to charge with fault to the face, to chide, to reprehend, to blame, to convince of a fault, to refute, to disprove, to excite a sense of guilt. Huh? Huh? Who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? Come on, Randy.
Coach, I love the direction you're going. Look, we're one of three people, Coach. We either have fellowship with darkness or we don't fellowship with darkness, but we don't reprove, or we don't have fellowship with darkness and we reprove. Look, Coach, this is what I've been saying for years, for a long time. 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul said, we believe, therefore we speak. We believe, therefore we reprove. Coach, look at the third definition. It says to charge to their face. You have to speak to do that. You have to speak. So, Coach, if we're not reproving, we're still fellowshipping with darkness, or we're not doing anything in action. So,
Randy.
Amen.
Randy, that's sin.
And that's sin. Amen, Coach.
Right, on us. Folks, that's sin on us. To us, to know to do good, not to do it, it's sin. The Bible tells us have nothing to do with those fornicators, to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, have nothing to do with homosexuals, have nothing to do with liars, have nothing to do with them, and yet we accept them. In fact, we put them on the podium. And then the pastor stands in the podium and tells you how much we need to love them, because love, God is love, right? God, we're so screwed up. Jim, come on in. Dale, I'm not ignoring you. You've been in here once. Go ahead. Jim and Jeff.
Coach, do we have the definition for the unfruitful works of darkness?
I looked for 20 minutes this morning. First of all, remember, unfruitful means it doesn't produce fruit.
Right.
But we know that sin does produce fruit. It's not a good fruit, but it does produce a fruit.
Go ahead. Job 24, 13 through 17.
Job 24, 13 through 17. Give us a second there. They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. The murderer rising with the light killeth the poor and the needy, and in the night is as a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguises his face. And in the dark they dig through houses, which they mark for themselves, and in the daytime they know not the light. For the morning to them is as the shadow of death. If one knows them, they are terrors in the shadow of death. Boy, that's good. That's good, Jim. That's deep. You could really, really unpack that as well, couldn't you? It's people who operate in darkness, do things in darkness. Wow. Jeff.
Coach, how about our local schools and our local communities support everything they do? They're just packing in everywhere, supporting them with money. Had a guy drop me a calendar last week. Big calendar. You hang up from Mount Vernon Sports, all the sporting events for the whole winter. I looked at him and I said, I can't hang this up. I said, this school is dark. It's evil. He looked at me and he passed them out. He looked at me and said, yeah, they're pretty ugly nowadays. And he left. He just walked out the door. I just ripped it up and threw it in the trash. Like, I can't
hang it up in here. Good move. Hey, I'm heading somewhere. Stay with me. Dale, then Larry.
Amen, brother. Listen, I did make that comment on the adultery and the fornication, but here, the thing in Ephesians, it says, have nothing to do with the unfruitful and works. Two things, unfruitful works of darkness. And so I went to Galatians because it says this, it has the identification of the fruit of the Spirit, but then it says this, I say, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. It says, but now the works. So we got fruits. He was talking about fruits. He says, now the works of the flesh, which are manifest, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, rivaling, and such like. In other words, not just these things, but
a bunch more.
Like these things.
Yes.
Of so there is fruit. Yep.
They Amen. Which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
So, I mean, right? In a nutshell, brother, if it's not glorifying God, if it's not only not glorifying God, but if it's not of an eternal salvation kingdom principled idea, brother, even to the littlest things are the fruits and the works of darkness.
Larry.
Good point, Dan. You know, there's two verses. You've already covered James, where it says, "What if you know to do good and don't do it, it is sin." There's another verse that very clearly says it is sin. and it's talking about anything that is not of faith is sin. And that's in Romans 14:23. So work of darkness are anything that is done outside of faith or the action of following the directions of God. That's what basically faith toward God is obeying him. Anything outside of obeying God.
So that's why the Lord said not to have anything to do with it, right? Folks, listen, the devil's web. God has not given you a spirit of
fear.
So anything done out of fear is not of God. Boom. So, hey, Vinny, there's a good boom. Anything that is done out of fear is not fruit of God.
Boom.
Can't be. God's not given us a spirit of fear. Now, folks, I'm not talking about fear of driving too fast or fear of high places. That's not the fear we're talking about here. We're talking about the kind of fear that drives you from doing what you ought to do. That's a spirit. That's not from the Lord. Okay, so I'm going to drop the bomb here because this is what this. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit just. Hang on here. I got my new computer. Okay, let's see. Make sure I say this. Yeah, do that. Okay. Can somebody explain this to me? Ultimately, this is an issue, my friends. We are not going to be able to get away from. Okay. Who's funding darkness?
We are.
Yep. We're told to have nothing to do with it.
Yes.
And they're taking my tax dollars and they're killing babies with it. They're taking my tax dollars and they are indoctrinating children in the doctrines of demons of hell and homosexuality and transgenderism. Amen. They're taking my tax dollars and they're influencing not only my grandchildren, no, they're not because they're not in the schools, but they're taking my money and they're influencing the neighbor's kids in atheism and secularism. And my Bible tells me that I shouldn't have any partnership at all with those unfruitful works. I shouldn't have any partnership with it at all. And yet every one of us, that's why the Holy Spirit woke me up last night. The Holy Spirit just kind of just whipped me up one side and down the other. Think you're a righteous man? And you willfully paying for that stuff? Why are you willfully paying for that stuff, Coach? Anybody have the answer? Why are you willfully paying
for the IRS?
I'm afraid, Lord. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. You say, Coach, are you calling us to protest taxes?
Yes.
I don't know.
Amen.
I'll say it for you, Coach.
Yep, I'll say it too. And I got to tell you something even worse. I've been through this with all of you. All of you. I've told you all this before. Every expense that we do here at Pastor Scott Ministries, Coach Dave Live, we have to catalog and send to the IRS. Can somebody explain to me why the church has to? Why do we have to do that? Does anybody have an answer for that?
It's been a bait and switch, Coach. It's a bait and switch.
That's right. And would anybody disagree with me that for the most part, 80%, probably 80% of what's going on in government is graft and thievery and stealing and waste? Would everybody agree with that? And would everybody agree that that's an unfruitful work of darkness? And we're told don't have anything to do with it. Rather reprove it. See, I don't know the answer. I know the answer. See, the answer is loss of reputation and everything in the world. Because why? That Jeff Nell, he's a tax cheat. He didn't pay his taxes. He's cheating, right? That's what they're going to say, is it not? Yep. You're going to go to the church and the pastor's going to stand in the pulpit. What's he going to say? Oh, we have an obligation, brothers and sisters, to pay our taxes. No, we don't. We don't have that obligation. We don't have that obligation, especially if they're killing babies with it. Teaching children that's homosex. Teaching them there is no God. What? Hey, Joe Silver, Are those unfruitful works of darkness, those things I just mentioned? Yeah, I can't hear you, bud. I can't hear you. You're muted.
I muted myself internally. Those are fig trees that don't produce. Coach, one of the things you were talking about earlier concerning homosexuality, okay, it's the major number one abomination to God.
And we support
endorse it,
and put it in the pulpit.
Yes, we do.
And put it at the head of our government.
Yes, we do. And I think that one action alone has signed our destiny in our future.
Unless, Spencer, I'm sorry, Spencer, pull up what did I want to? Evil tree. It's the last thing, Ben. This is a mic drop. A tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot. Doesn't say will not. It says it cannot bring forth evil tree. A good tree won't produce evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. An evil government will never produce good fruit, friends. It will never produce good fruit. And every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits shall you know your government. This is uncomfortable, isn't it? This is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. Lample, come on in. Come on, S. Lample there. Come on in.
This is Bill and Sandy Lample. Can you hear
us?
Hey,
Bill. Bill and Sandy, yes.
David Paxton, he's in, I think, the Pennsylvania Salt and Light Brigade. He teaches exactly this, showing us how to leave Babylon and go into the kingdom of God and building the kingdom. And you break away, you don't pay the taxes. You don't follow
God. We're led. Thank you, Sandy. We're letting the evil side dictate and teach us what we're not supposed to do. Can you guys see this? Do you see this? Walk into a church and say that you don't pay taxes. I pay taxes. Walk into the church and tell people you don't say taxes, pay taxes. And look how Christians look at you. They don't get it. We're funding every form of evil, every form of it. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. I'm still not there yet. Go ahead, Reggie, then Randy.
Coach, a long time ago, the Lord had showed me something, and I'll get to it. But it's speaking truth wherever you go. You have to, because if you're not speaking truth, you're spell casting. As our words have power when they speak, and you know who they, everybody knows who they are. Youth people think they're speaking gibberish, or they don't mean, they know exactly what they're doing and the power they withhold within them. And we have to teach others and point out their fruits everywhere we go, because Christians need to know the power that they hold within them. So when we speak about the fruits, remember again, the light and the dark. The transgender, they transgender their children. They introduce cannibalism and ritual murder to them at the age of two. Even, you know, they practice depraved sex acts with all species, including animals. This is the fruits, the works, and we have to speak it, as well as not give them a dime.
Amen. Amen. Hang with me. I'm still not there yet. Come on in, Randy, then Jeff now.
So, Coach, good government will produce good fruit, right?
Yes. Yes.
When the righteous rule, the people are content and happy. When the wicked rule, they mourn. Proverbs, Coach. So the point is, the government is of God. Government ain't bad, but it's wrong when the righteous stand back and let it be evil. That's what's wrong.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Right. Amen. And like I said, go ahead, Jack likes to elbow his way in, Jeff. Do you care? We'll let him elbow in. Come on, Jack.
I'm terribly sorry. I'm on a phone. I can't raise my hand. I put my hand up. You can't see it.
Okay.
Remember, government is a fiction.
This Coach David only just putting out a, just like a preacher yells.
Gene, we can hear you, Gene.
Oh.
Go ahead, Jack. Go ahead, Jack. We lost you, Jack.
Sorry. Government, remember, government is a fiction. It only comes alive when it's occupied by people. So
No.
It's occupied by good people.
Government is a verb. It's a verb. It's a verb. It's not a noun. We made it a noun.
Right.
It's a verb. USA Country Girl, then Jeff Klein, then Jeff Fennell.
Okay, then what about the 501c3?
Why I'm about to get. That's why I was awake at 3 o'clock in the morning last night.
Okay. I didn't mean to steal your thunder. Sorry. No.
Does the IRS have any right to know anything that Pastasol does with its money?
No.
They have not unless I know what they're doing with theirs. Not unless they come to me for an accounting of what they're doing with the government money. This is a two-way street. This ain't a one-way partnership. I have to tell the government everything I do with my money, but they don't have to tell me what to do with theirs. No. That ain't the way this thing works. We're going to have to buck that system. Go ahead, Jeff Klein and Jeff now.
Coach, this ought to be a prime opportunity, hopefully, this week. We got Ariel now forcing the jab. The big company Ariel here in Mount Vernon, these people are hot. And then our school board meetings and all these people that have been doing the meetings. So it sounds like the Holy Spirit's probably giving you a message for the We Will Not Bow rally on the square Sunday. I hope they turn out. So it'll be good.
I'll tell them the truth for sure. Come on in, Jeff Nell, then Dale.
Yeah, it's just amazing how pastors just don't understand the Word of God. I preached in front of called the Church of Christ, and the pastor came out and started yelling at me. He called me a liar. I asked him, do you have a 501c3? He said, yes. Why do you do it? That's a form of ungodliness. And he says, well, give which is Caesar's and give which is God's excuse.
There you go. See, he doesn't understand. By the way, I have a 501c3 because they told me that's what I had to do. When I started Past Assault Ministries 20 years ago, the clergy told me that's what I have to do. You have to get a 501c3. That's what you have to do. Well, somewhere along the line, I guess ignorance of the law is no excuse. Shouldn't they have had to tell me what I was getting into here? I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Still not done. Hang on. Go ahead, Dale.
You're absolutely right, Coach. It's the fact of the old cutting the ends off the ham, and you come to find out your great-grandmother cut them off because her oven was too small. There's no reason. There's no reason why you have to file a 501c3. There's nothing in the Constitution that demands a church has to file anything. Period. Now brother. Now this is what, listen, man. I'm. This is, if a person is sin, what does the Bible call us to do? Okay. Repent of it, and do it no more. Go and sin no more. Therefore, this is. It's easy to say, harder to do. What do you do with a 501c3? Do you continue in it, or do you say, I'm not doing this no more? See, that's the challenge, brother, right there. And I know it's weighing on you. That's the challenge. And see, I knew more. That's why I didn't do any of that. I opted out of all of that, including I opted out of Social Security of that. So I don't pay nothing on my payroll or anything like that.
Me too. I don't have any Social Security. Okay, so let me go here with you. This is for all of you out there, okay? This is for all of you. Now, I'm going to lay this out there. You do what you want to do, all right? There's such a thing, I never knew it, until I became associated with the Patriot Churches. We had Pastor Sharam on a couple weeks ago. Remember talking about it. He's a member of the Patriot Church. Did you guys know out there there's such a thing as a 508? 508? Yep. Click on that. There it is. Folks, do you know the tax the churches? By the way, home churches. Everybody says, I want to start a church. Do you know you already are one? It's under a 508, not a 501c3. So I'm encouraging all of you out there. Listen, put this in the link so people can, because look, this is a free church. A 508 is a tax. There it is. A 508, second line there, Spencer. Stay right there. The Congress enacted a particular rule to specifically exempt churches from the new requirements or the new legislation being in conflict with Constitution. Section 501C1A was necessary to formally ensure that government did not unnecessarily entangle itself with the organization and operation of churches, because there's a separation between the church and state. Nobody told me that I didn't have to be a 501C. They lured me in, see? Well, 508C, hey, go to the IRS page and check it out, friends, is a faith-based, tax-exempt organization that stems from the First Amendment and is not a government subsidy. Since 508 organizations are already tax-exempt, as the right, they do not have to give up their right to religious exercise and free speech as a condition of tax exemption. Not only that, you don't have to report to them every day. You simply register and say, here we are, we're a home church, we're a 508, see you later.
Yep.
Now, here's what it is. Most of you think I'm lying.
Nope.
Put this in the chat. Let people look for it to themselves. Chad Estes, start a 508 home church. Start one. Bobby, start a 508 home church. Pennsylvania Brett, Randy, start a 508 home church. This, folks, because we're going to have home churches. We're going to have them. And we're not going to have to answer to the government. Say, Coach, you sure are after the IRS today? No, I'm not. I'm responding to what happened to me at 3 o'clock in the morning. How long are you going to continue to fund evil? How long are we going to continue to do it? Mm-hmm. Now, this website that we have up there, what's the name of the website, Spence? The link. Put the link in there. I got it here. I can look at mine.
Non-gov.
Come on in.
508c1a.org.
Non-gov 508c1a.org. It's got all kinds of information on there. I checked the IRS website. There is such a thing as a 508. The Patriot churches are 508s. You tell them they exist. You tell the government you exist, and that's it. No reporting, no record keeping, nothing. They've lied to us again, see. They lied to us and told us we had to be 508 or 501. That's why they lied to us. Come on, Anima.
I don't see why we have to tell anybody that we're a church. We don't have to tell anyone. Why should we?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Amen.
See, listen, 501s, 501c3s, folks, those are for like the Boy Scouts and for like the Goodwill and for like that, not for the church, not for the body of Christ. Folks, the church is above the state. The church is above the state. Not below it. The church is above it. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. What money that the church has doesn't belong to God. What part of the money that you have in your church belongs to the government? None. None belongs to the government. In fact, even the Capitol building belongs to God. The Supreme Court building belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. They've lied to us. Come on in, Gene.
Got to get unmuted. I agree with the lady that said we don't have to fill anything out. Why do we even mess with it? Because when you fill out a paper to the IRS, that's still putting you underneath them.
That's true. That's
we're
true.
Above them.
We're above them.
Underneath them.
I'm with you, Gene. Boy, I wish. See, you go see a lawyer. I'm not making fun of lawyers. You go see a lawyer, they're going to tell you the IRS code. They're not going to tell you the truth. Teresa.
Yes, I heard that once you're a 501c3, getting out is from under it is harder. Like they're allowed to take,
I guess, your land
and different things.
It's harder than getting a divorce. Getting out from money is harder than getting a divorce.
That's not true, Coach, because we did that. You can close your incorporation and you open back up under the same name. I'm just telling you, we did it at our church.
Well, I need some information on that, Dale. That's what I want to do.
Yeah, because I'd hate to see you lose everything you've built. by yeah. doing that. So make sure before you
because it sure doesn't belong to the government, does it?
You're not gonna lose it.
Correct. It doesn't belong to the government. It doesn't belong to the government. They tricked me.
If that's leading you, you're not gonna lose anything.
We did it. Come on in,
come on in, country girl, and then Randy. Quickly, we got about 5 minutes.
I just got to say amen times a million, Coach. This is how I know that you are led by the Holy Spirit, because I can't tell you how many times I have tried to share this with pastors. Other people try to share it with pastors, and they just run and hide. They don't want to have anything to do with it. But don't fear. You will not lose everything, because God will absolutely honor
it's your all fear.
Choice to unhitch yourself from the government. He will absolutely honor that. He will not
folks, that's a fight that needs to be had anyway. That fight needs to be had. We need to unshackle everybody else. If they lock me up and throw me in jail for the rest of my life, it's a fight worth having that others might be set free. That's the way I see it. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, this is liberation, because the only way we can be the church 24/7 is if we don't have to drag the darn building around with us and all the things connected with it.
You wouldn't believe the record keeping I have to do, Randy. You wouldn't believe it.
Coach, this is freedom. This is freedom. Liberty.
Amen. Thanks. Amen. Naomi.
So we thought about being a 501c3 for our organization, but the only reason was because the mindset of the people.
Yes, ma'am.
They'll give to a 501c3 for the tax benefits, whereas they're not as willing to give to a non-registered organization.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Chad. Morning, Chad.
Morning. Well, is the thing says, "Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people." And is our government, our American government, are they fruitful? Are they good fruit? Are they poisonous fruit?
Poison.
I'm just, you know, this is what thing is, and so it says, "Come out of her." It's not just taxes.
No,
it's coming out of her. It's coming out. It's a step in it that we must have. A greater separation. Otherwise,
I cut up and burned all of my IRS refund checks that they give to you. Whether those stimulus things, I burn them all. I don't want anything to do with them. I don't want to take a penny from them. I don't have any Social Security retirement. I don't have it. I have some. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take it. Do you understand what I'm telling you? I'm not taking it, and I'm not going to take this any longer either. I'm not going to take it. Drifter 78.
Well, it's more than just not paying taxes. It's making a statement.
It is.
It's making a statement that we are ambassadors to Christ, to the kingdom of God, not Babylon. And I tell you, I am more apt to give someone's not a 501c3.
Yeah. Well, Gary, the truth is, it's a one-way partnership, right? I sign up as a 501c3, and they make all the rules. I have no recourse. It's like being married to an abusive spouse.
I don't give to get a deduction. I give because I want to.
Amen. Amen. I mean, see, bear with me, right? I started it way back in 2003. I didn't know any better. I'm working on it, Dale. We need to talk. Gene, go ahead.
Okay, I just want to tell you about the Social Security. Dave, that money is yours.
I know it is.
Coming from the IRS. Earned that money. So
I know that.
It is not wrong, and I've done a lot of soul searching with that, because I decided I put into that, and that is my money.
Gene, now listen, it wasn't my full retirement, okay? I that's from working odd jobs in the summer and when I was younger and all the stuff. I don't have a whole lot in there. But Gene, out of my conscience, I ain't taking it.
Okay.
I ain't taking it, okay? I'm not going to take it. Unknown, come on in. People who their whole lives have paid into Social Security, I get why you take it. That'd be stupid, right? I get it.
Unknown. 508C1A, you have to have 12 different things that you meet. Like you have to have Sunday school. You have to have at least 4 people, because back early in the 1900s when they first came up with this, if you already know this, I'll just stop talking.
Yeah, we're out of time, so the information's there. You can find it, though.
You can go to Paul Obel, O-E-B-E-L, and he tells you how to get out and how to get into a 508C1A.
Send me that, Spence. Capture that and send that to me. Paul O'Bell, send it to me. I want to see that. Hey friends, Coach, I just want
to add this, Coach. Fraud vitiates all contracts.
It does. Vinny, thank you, Vinny. Fraud vitiates all contracts. Hey, friends, listen. This isn't rebellion. This is obedience. And if you can't recognize the difference between rebellion and obedience, I don't know what to tell you. Nothing belongs to God or belongs to the government. Nothing that you have belongs to the government. It all belongs to God. All of it, including your body. That's why they can't jab you. That's why they can't jab you. Join me today on Brighteon at 11 o'clock. I'm going to have Mike Heath on, and he's going to do some exposing of Focus on the Family and Family Research Council and all those organizations, Christian organizations he used to partner with. Don't miss it. We'll see you then. God bless you. See you tomorrow.